All right, they're getting ready to pull the trigger on this thing. It's going to launch, and the countdown is, for all you space nerds, is really interesting. This ain't a NASA countdown. This is switch by switch and what's going on. You lost the feed? Okay. Crusade Channel, last live radio station standing, live talk radio the way it should be. We're going to join SpaceX countdown. 4 minutes, T-minus 4 minutes to go. There you go.
It has been a long time to get to where we are today. Now, fast forwarding a little bit, we have the opportunity to hold, if necessary, at 40 seconds. And we are able to hold there for about 15 minutes or up to 15 minutes and still be able to lift off.
Yeah, and that's a little bit different from Falcon for the propellant sequence on Falcon that... we don't have the opportunity to hold, so that's a cool new capability on Starship.
Yep. Right now, T-minus 3 minutes, 10 seconds and counting. We got some great views from the drone. It's nice that the fog is slowly lifting. We get some of the blue skies, hopefully good views. What we're waiting for right now is closeout of propellant loading on the first stage. That should be wrapping up here shortly. In fact, it looks like fuel fill and drain valves are coming closed. That means first stage is fully loaded, second stage fully loaded, and that 10 million pounds of propellant on board the Starship launch vehicle.
I want to take a quick moment to say that the crowd energy here is electric. I feel like it's Falcon Heavy test demo all over again.
And hopefully you'll hear us.
You're
as we get
live
into the plus count. But right now, next activity is coming up. The flight termination system arms.
You're listening live to the voices of those who were calling the SpaceX live launch of SpaceX Starship. We're at T-minus 3 minutes, and as a lifelong, T-minus 2.5 minutes, as a lifelong space nerd, I wanted to be broadcasting this very moment, just like the launch of Apollo 2 was broadcast, and then ultimately leading up to the launch of Apollo 11. I had news guys there. I'm honored to be with you guys. Let's go back to SpaceX in Texas.
I don't think I've ever seen someone so excited for TVC wiggles.
Love this view. These are the 33 Raptor engines at the base of the Super Heavy booster. I think we can see those wiggles now.
We're currently inside 90 seconds. Next major activity, T-minus 40 seconds. That is a gate, a decision point. We're waiting. Possibility the propulsion team may need a few minutes.
All right, I'm now watching what you're watching.
Flight termination system is armed for flight.
T-minus 1 minute.
We're getting ready for T-minus 1 minute and counting.
T-minus 1 minute, folks. T-minus 1 minute.
Next, we'll see as we get past T-minus 40 seconds for final checks of the vehicle.
T-minus 41, 40, 39, 38. They're going to light this camp. T-minus 20. All right, they just added 20 seconds to the clock back at T-minus 37 seconds. They said they might do this. Crusade Channel, live talk radio the way it should be, proving
okay,
it right now.
Okay, you can see the clock.
They're cycling right now at T-minus 25. They're adding 15 seconds.
Flight director has called a hold. We are recycling.
See,
for the moment, we'll see where they move the clock back to. They could hold at T-minus 40 seconds. They could go to an earlier point. Give us a minute to listen into the nets, and we'll see if we can get you more information to share.
Live here on the Crusade Channel, the launch of Starship aboard a SpaceX rocket. You're listening to it here. Okay, so the view we have is from the base of the base of the rocket. You can see it's two stages there with the Starship at the top. And those engines are going just like they'd be going on a NASA launch. We're held right now at 45 seconds, or at 40 seconds. The launch director is held at 40 seconds. And he told us earlier that they might do this, that there are a lot of systems that have to all be green for this thing to go. So if one of them went yellow, then they would hold the countdown hold for final launch checkout. So that's all they're doing here.
Up to 15 minutes, he said.
We're back to 15 minutes.
No, he said they can.
Yeah, it could go up to 15 minutes. And just for you guys that, and gals that aren't space nerds and find this incredibly boring, this is history being made. This is not boring, but the reason they had to do this is, and I tried to explain this yesterday, liquid hydrogen and liquid oxygen. The liquid oxygen is called LOX. Liquid hydrogen is called, I want to say it's called HOX, but I know LOX is liquid oxygen. This stuff is compressed down. They compress the crap out of it, and they turn it from a gas into a liquid. What it wants to do, what nature wants it to do, is to go back to being a gas. And that's all they do, is they let it turn back into a gas at very high velocity. I mean, this it happens at very high velocity, and it's very combustible. So all it needs is a spark at that point. When they load these rockets up you heard him, 10 million pounds of that kind of volatile chemical or substance, it's at
Brooker again here at the Hawthorne webcast desk. We're holding a T-minus 40 seconds. What we've heard so far is we have a couple of issues we're working. One is the booster tank pressurization. Final pressurization was just a little bit long. That's not unusual. We've held a T-minus 40 seconds before to pressurize.
And by the way, the Starship
appears to have been resolved.
The Starship is actually, they're showing a graph on Fox News. The Starship is actually larger than a Saturn V rocket. It has more fuel on it than a Saturn V.
Everyone, especially that person, is excited to keep going. Like John said, we should know shortly.
Okay, so just drawing upon some of my rudimentary knowledge of what's going on here. When that stuff is kept on the, when you keep it in those tanks, you can't keep it in those tanks forever. Because it will, basically the tanks will just crack and you'll lose containment, and that won't be good with the Raptor engines running underneath. There are 34 what they call Raptor engines at the bottom of Starship. Just to again, inside space baseball here. This rocket is every bit as powerful as a Saturn V, meaning it's powerful enough, as I understand it, to escape Earth orbit. So now what is that, Mike? Well, geostationary orbit is 23,635 miles above the Earth. To get to geostationary orbit, you have to get somewhere around 18,000 miles per hour. And that will hold a satellite in what's called a geostationary orbit, meaning it's in sync with the Earth as she rotates on her axis.
So we should be able to resume the launch countdown any moment now.
Okay, so to escape Earth orbit, around 24,000 miles per hour. And how Apollo accomplished that is it used the moon to slingshot it. So it was in high Earth orbit at geostationary. It escaped geostationary, but it still wasn't going fast enough. What the Apollo did was it would wait for the moon to come around, and it would be dragged basically by the gravity of the moon. You do this a couple of times, and you go in, and you go into faster and faster and faster until, and if you time it right using Newtonian physics and calculation, we're down to 23 seconds. Starship is about to launch. You're listening to it live here on the Crusade Channel, folks. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 3, 4. There it goes! Come on, baby. Fly! She's off the lift pad. Starship is flying.
Zero post launch flight operations.
We're T plus 22 seconds and counting. Oh, wow.
Booster up your
T-plus 40 seconds, folks. Starship is flying 490 kilometers an hour.
First stage engines nominal. What a sight when the grand hammer is starting. We're flying at twice the thrust of the Saturn V heading to space.
Is she still on the first stage?
We're throttled down and throttled back up.
715, 730, 750. Accelerating. They've got drones up there that are tracking.
The velocity increases. The density of the atmosphere is decreasing.
Max Q.
Lessening stress on the vehicle.
And she's approaching 900 kilometers per hour. Just hit 10 kilometers up.
Continuing to watch the first stage as we head
downrange. She's over 1,000 kilometers an hour.
A 100 seconds into flight. Our next major activity is going to be shutdown of the first stage.
Okay, so
station now acquiring
we're looking for the separate. There it goes. First stage. First stage is separating.
Ignition of the Starship engines. When Starship separates, we light up six engines in a staggered sequence. If all goes well, those six engines will burn.
Now we have a view from Starship.
Onboard view from Starship.
Wow!
And there's views of the Raptor engines on the second stage as we prepare for stage separation. Now, after stage separation, the first stage will flip and begin a boost back maneuver for landing in the Gulf.
We are covering live the launch of Starship.
Continuing to fly, 2 minutes, 40 seconds.
We're approaching 2,000 kilometers per hour. All right, stage one is flipping.
Beginning the flip for stage separation.
And we're waiting for the second stage to come online. Starship has slowed down about 1,600 kilometers per hour now. Altitude 39 kilometers. There is an inset view if you're watching this on the SpaceX cam at SpaceX.com.
As of right now, we are awaiting stage separation, where Starship should separate from the Super Heavy booster.
Oh, it's gone quiet now because they
Kate, right now it looks like we saw the start of the flip, but obviously we're seeing from the ground cameras the entire Starship stack continuing to rotate. We should have had separation by now. Obviously, this is does not appear to be a nominal situation.
Yeah, it does appear to be spinning, but I do want to remind everyone that everything after clearing the tower was icing on the cake.
All right, something just blew up. Stage two.
Integrated test flight.
It looks like stage one has separated. That is a view from inside the SpaceX launch console.
To clear the pad and make it this far into the test flight, the first integrated flight of the booster and the Starship vehicle.
Live view there of our control center at Starbase, which we refer to as Star Command. As we said before,
Elon is there at the launch
make it
console.
All the way through, but to get this far, honestly, is amazing.
Well, if you're just joining us, Starship just experienced what we call a rapid unscheduled disassembly, or a RUD, during ascent. But now this was a development test. This is the first test flight of Starship, and the goal was to gather the data, and as we said, clear the pad and get ready to go again. So you never know exactly what's gonna happen, but as we promised, excitement is guaranteed. And Starship gave us a rather spectacular end to what was truly an incredible test thus far.
Okay, so if I understand what happened correctly, what did he call it? Unscheduled demolition. So the explosion that we saw was the first, or that you heard me describe, was the first stage separating from the second stage, or attempting to separate from the second stage. Let's go back and listen to what they are there, because I want to hear the inside baseball nerd stuff.
But honestly, what an exciting morning.
It was exciting.
Oh, my gosh. We had a successful liftoff from Starbase, Texas at 8:28 a.m. Central Time. We cleared the tower, which honestly was our only hope. We cleared the tower, and all the data that we collected all the way through all those Raptor, those 33, although I think we saw that three Raptor engines were out, but we got all that data, and we got so far as to hoping to see the Starship, the second stage, separate from the first stage, the Super Heavy booster. And unfortunately, we didn't make that happen, but that's okay. It was the first integrated launch, and honestly, today was amazing.
Okay, so 10 million pounds of fuel in the Heavy booster. They showed a graphic image of this before the launch, and the Starship is actually taller than the Saturn V. For those of you that may have ever been driven through Huntsville, Alabama, or maybe you live in Huntsville, Alabama, if you've ever seen, there is a full-size replica of a Saturn V that is at the Huntsville Space Flight Center. And when you drive past, you, the first thing, when you're 10 miles away and you see it, the first thing you think is, why'd they put a skyscraper in the middle of nowhere? Because it's 370 feet tall. Starship is over 400 feet tall. And it is the most powerful rocket ever built. Just to reiterate here on the Crusade Channel, live talk radio the way it should be with your host, Mike Church here. And just to reiterate what we saw this morning. Well, what we saw this morning was we saw the successful launch of history. This is the largest liquid-fueled rocket man has ever constructed. And as you heard the SpaceX guys saying, and gal, the goal for today, well, yeah, they wanted to have a successful launch and do and trigger both stages, but the goal for today was to ignite stage one, to have it clear the tower, and I was giving you the countdown. They got Starship made it to 3,000 kilometers. Not sure what that is in miles. Probably about 1,600, 1,700 miles.
You can see which ones weren't working.
Yeah, and you can see on the bottom of the footage here, there's one, two, there were three engines that weren't working. Then when it went into, and this is really interesting how I guess they developed this, Starship goes into a cycle where after, at the end of the burn of stage one, she begins to flip. And on what's supposed to happen on the second flip, so she's flipping from the nose of Starship to the base of where the Raptor rockets are, to the base of the rocket. So as it's to flip, when it makes the final flip, it's gonna flip twice. During the second flip, the first stage is to separate from the second, and the second is to ignite. And what is supposed to happen is that the first stage is supposed to, and you could see it right there in the replay that they're showing on Fox News. You can see the, and when it makes the flip, you can see that there are explosive bolts on there, if you will, just to be crude with it, because I don't know the technology. But when it is flipped, those bolts are to explode to separate the first from the second one, and then the second one will fire. What's ultimately supposed to happen with Starship is that the first stage is supposed to fall into the Gulf of Mexico, and they're supposed to recover it. So I don't know how they're going to recover that thing, because it's massive. But I'm sure there's a ship and a crane out there that's big enough to do it, so that it can be reused. So then they would bring it back, they would resurface it, they would clean it up, and fix anything that got damaged during the flight, and then you could reuse this. You know, as Elon has been very clear about saying here, the goal of this is to get this thing to fly. Once it's tested and it can fly, then you do manned tests. You put some men on that joker. And then you do your orbital tests. And then once that is done, well, then obviously, then you could, if you wanted to, you could make a trip to the moon. They don't have, to my knowledge, though, a LEM. For those of you that are Apollo space nerds, a LEM is a lunar excursion module. And there's two pieces at the top of a Saturn V. There's the LEM, the lunar excursion module, and there's the CSM, the command service module. If you've seen Apollo 13, they were stuck. What happened was a piece, something blew in the fuselage of the command of the CSM, the command service module. What they did was, is they went ahead and docked with the LEM, and they used the LEM as a lifeboat until they could figure out, you know, what they were going to do, and try to figure out. And if you've seen Ron Howard's movie, which is very accurate, then you know what they did. So I don't know that they have a LEM on a CSM or how they would do it, but they did. Just 2 days ago, 25 SpaceX satellites were launched. And that booster that put them in orbit landed on the deck of a SpaceX ship successfully. You know, they've been trying to do this, and some of them land right, and some of them blow up. There's been a couple of them that have blown up. What it basically does is it launches the Starlink satellite, puts it where it's supposed to be, and then it shuts its engines off, and then it does a controlled slow burn to come back down into to the upper atmosphere. And then when it gets to a certain point in the upper atmosphere, it has chutes, and the chutes point slow it down, and then it uses its booster or its navigational rockets to put itself in position over a pad that's it's either in the desert in Texas or it's in the Gulf of Mexico, and then it fires retro rockets and actually lands like in the Forbidden Planet movie. If you're a sci-fi movie nerd, it actually lands, and then they go and pick it up and they resurface it. So if you're a space nerd, or if you're just a news and history junkie, history was made here today. No, I don't want to start running around quoting Star Trek, but this is Ephraim Cochran. This is the first firing of the warp drive. It's very exciting for us science, real science and real space and geek and nerd kind of guys. And I know there's a lot of you out there because I talked to some of you. If you're an engineer, you have to be fascinated by this. The fact is, yeah, TKD, he got government money. Yeah, but NASA didn't do this. NASA did not do this. Which is probably why it got done. Because NASA's filled with a bunch of global warming woke hacks today. You saw that room was filled with young geeks. Very young space nerds. So a very exciting day. It was our honor and privilege. If you listen to it, I want to thank you for being a little piece and a little part of history with me and Maggie. As we sat and we watched this and broadcast the radio portion of it to you. And we broadcast it on Crusade Channel TV. So we had a hand in broadcasting history being made here today.